Hi, I'm Dan Dunn, the host of What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn, a show that mixes history, culture, politics, famous people, and booze, and strains it through the cognitive mesh of my sozzled gray matter. Join me each week as I take a lighthearted stroll through the consequential role that alcohol has played through the ages, and how it shaped key moments in history, quite literally changing the world. For instance, did you know that Thomas Jefferson started the first U.S. wine company in Virginia with investments from George Washington and Ben Franklin? It's true. And if you're wondering whose winery sits across the street from Jefferson's estate today, here's a hint. What's orange, president, and has a very good brain and the best people. I'll also tell you about new stuff to drink, trends, recipes, and other things that are good to know. And I'll chat up celebrities, along with the movers and shakers of the adult beverage world. And since this is a show about alcohol, I'd like to remind you that drinking can cause memory loss. Or even worse, memory loss. Where was I? Oh, right. Plugging my show. It's called What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn. It's fun, I promise. So come on, pull up a bar stool, and let's kick it.
Welcome to the Start Me Up podcast, part of MSW Media and the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. I'm your host, Kimberly Johnson in DC. Today, my returning guest is writer Sarah Wood. Obviously, there's so much to talk about. So before we get into it, the Start Me Up podcast is independent, listener funded, and woman run. Visit patreon.com/startmeup to see the variety of tiers offered, including the option to get a bonus What's Up episode just for patrons every Tuesday. It's kind of like my online journal where I get a little more personal and I talk about whatever's on my mind. There's also an ad-free tier with a much shorter intro. Just visit patreon.com/startmeup. Now please enjoy my conversation with Sarah Wood. Welcome to the show, Sarah.
Hello, thank you for having me back.
I should have said welcome back, but you know, I'm all flustered because I was like doing something right before we connected and time got away from me. And then I'm like, oh no, it's like I have to go in there. And you were waiting. Of course, you were on time and I wasn't. But that's okay because we have so much to talk about. Oh my God, everything is crazy, Sarah.
Yeah, there's nothing happening. It's very calm. It's world peace.
Calm and normal, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so before we get into all the scary crap, how are you?
I'm good. I'm very good.
Good. It's been a while. So why are you very good?
Oh, I quit drinking. So it's been, yeah, it's been a whole thing. So yeah, it's been great. About 3 months now and I feel better. I've lost weight. It's been all the good things.
Wow. So what made you decide to do that?
It had been a long time coming. I think I, like most people can happen to them, it became a very big coping mechanism for dealing with the outside world. And I decided I wasn't going to go down with the ship.
Good. So
I was like, all right, now I still am very California sober. So I'm not like, I'm definitely doing other things, but yeah.
The legal stuff, right?
Yeah. It's legal here. It is legal here. So I'm in Connecticut. It's legal.
Yeah. And so sometimes, yes, we do need, I find the difference with marijuana versus alcohol, at least for me, number one, if I were to talk to someone who was drunk, it's a very different experience than talking to someone who's stoned. And it's not to say like you shouldn't drive or anything like that, but it seems like there's a little bit more self-control when you're high on cannabis than, you know, kind of drunk. And it's funny because I have never been a big drinker. My grandfather was an alcoholic. My uncle noticed that, you know, if he would have continued drinking, he felt like he was an alcoholic. So he just stopped and it's been decades. And so, you know, they say it's in the family and everything, but I never really had that problem. I will say when I was in my very early 20s, I went out for 2 nights in a row and got drunk. And I remember thinking, I'm never doing that again because the hangover from the second night was so awful. And I mean, I was young. And it was like, no, and I never did it again. And I'm just really not a big drinker because for me, it's like when I drink, I feel really great for like maybe an hour. And then what starts happening is after that euphoria wears off, I just start feeling heavy. I can taste that nasty taste of alcohol coming from my stomach through my breath, and I just hate it. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's weird. I mean, I feel like I'm lucky that way, but.
No, that is good because I was the one where I would drink most days
Yeah.
and yeah, it was just becoming it wasn't good. So I haven't been drinking for about 3 months and but
Yay.
yeah, it's been good and I
Congratulations.
thank you. It is like they say like, oh, it is a life changer and it is a life changer. So it's been
That's
good.
awesome. Yeah. Well, more power to you. And so I don't know how you're getting through. Oh, well, you already said you're using other substances,
Yeah,
but
and I got
some
a
of the
ther
things.
and I got a therapist that
And
also.
you got a therapist. Well, that's good. It's funny because for me, I've been to therapists in my life before, and I promise I won't get into all of this, but I know I've talked to you about it. I'll let out, and I have that other podcast called The Seeker. But for me, it's really been like this whole venture into who we really are, like who human beings are. And it's like so funny to me because there's like a crossover with human psychology. And so if I get like, for instance, if I'm getting really upset over something, one of the things that I've learned to do, and this almost like sounds like it would come from a therapist, but it's more from what I've learned in that spiritual. I hate the word spiritual because it's just connected to New Age and it sounds stupid, but it's like when I'm upset, I just kind of hang back. I kind of observe myself being upset and recognize that it's not who I am. It's just what I'm feeling. And the record, I don't resist it. I let it play out. And I recognize that it will play out. And even though I feel whatever I'm feeling, that understanding that, okay, it's going to play out. It's not really who I am. It's just what I'm feeling. It helps. I mean, I don't know what other, I don't know the other coping mechanisms that are offered via psychology, but for me, that's really helped me a lot. I don't know if there's,
No, that's honestly what a therapist would probably tell you to do is like identify the emotion, why you might be feeling it, allow yourself to sit with it and like kind of move through it.
Yeah,
Like,
and like don't fight it, 'cause like the more you've
yeah.
like they say what you resist persists. So,
Yeah.
and I don't like to say that because we are resisting fascism, but you know what I mean, like in your own mind.
In our own day-to-day
Yeah.
life, like don't, yeah, exactly.
Okay, so here comes a scary question. Do you feel that fascism is going to cement, or do you think we're going to find our way back to democracy?
I think we're going to find out after 2026. I don't have a solid answer on that because, like, I thought we were strong enough, but right now, like, I have all of my theories about what's going to happen.
Okay.
But
Give me some of them. What are your
okay.
theories?
So I have a theory where it's like Trump was put in power to tear down the systems, tear down all of our, like, basically destroy our government, and what I believe. Republicans' plan and Heritage Foundation's plan and like Peter Thiel's plan, it's all build it back up and build it back up with Vance and basically their own version of like a Gilead type of situation. Well, I hope it wouldn't be as bad as Gilead, but I think
Right.
that's what they're envisioning. Because you can see it, they're tearing apart the
Yeah.
Department of Education, they're tearing every structure that is good for the American people and
Yeah.
helps the American people, and they're tearing it all apart. And they want us to be mad at each other. They
Yeah.
want us because that only serves to help them. So, yeah, I don't know when or how that's going to happen, but that's my prediction.
So, I mean, I'm sure like you, or like me, you feel pretty good seeing the Democrats fighting what they're doing in Texas, right?
Oh, yeah.
So they walked out of the legislature, and of course, the governor wants to issue arrest warrants for those people, for those Democrats who walked out. But I think the first person we saw address this whole gerrymandering thing, because Texas wants to just gerrymander us out so that it's like absolutely guaranteed win for the GOP. And of course, other red states are picking up on this. And so Gavin Newsom, I think was it, correct me if I'm wrong, but was the first one to kind of boldly stand up against this and say, okay, let's fight fire with fire. I've got California. And then, other governors, I think other blue governors are either doing the same or looking to do the same. Where do you think this takes us? I mean, because it's like, I don't know where this is going to go, but we can absolutely count on the Republican states to gerrymander even harder. And I'm going to go ahead and assume that Democrats will choose to fight back. But I mean, how do you see this playing out? Do you think it's just going to be this huge war of gerrymandering? I mean, I'm not even asking you how the midterms are going to turn out. I'm just like, where do you think this is going to go as far as how things are just being are playing out right now, especially
I,
with the Democrats.
yeah, no, I think if we don't fight back and fight back with grit, like we are just going to let them walk all over us. We have to fight back. And I was never a huge Gavin Newsom fan, but he's really been showing up. And especially like with everything that happened in LA with or is happening in LA. And yeah, and now here with Texas. And I think it's a moment for these Democrats to be like, hey, we're going to draw our line in the sand. Like we are, it's, we need to play their game. Like I've said it to you before, where we need to play their game, but we need to do it for good and not evil.
Yes. Well, that's like Rachel Bitticoffer is always talking about using just being like incendiary and hyperbolic in order to get the attention of the people who are maybe not paying attention and worry about, because all the time the Republicans are hyperbolic. All the time they're saying things like the Democrats are going to take your guns when they never do. And like the last time she was on my show, she made the point where if she posts something like, the Republicans are going to take away your Social Security, she always gets a, well, actually, Democrat. Well, actually, that's not really how it works. And it's like, shut up.
Yeah, that's
Just
not
shut
helpful.
up. It doesn't matter if that's how it works. And she's like, I know how it works. But ultimately, the Republicans are going to do everything they can to take away our social safety nets. And it may not go down in the way that I've explained it, but yes, they're going to get rid of our social safety nets and things that take care of us. And
That's right.
instead of arguing about the fucking details,
Yeah.
just put out the same kind of fear tactics, but like you said, for the good.
Yeah. No, it's ridiculous that I mean, it happens with Democrats all the time. Like I don't want to be a jerk about it, but we are like, we have more smart people in
We
our party.
do.
And we have to remember that the average reading level in America is like fifth grade or something like
Yeah,
that.
so
We
sad.
have, it is sad, but, and it shows our state of affairs with the education and why they need the Department of Education to keep things across the nation. So we don't have states like Mississippi, and every kid that comes out of Mississippi doesn't know the alphabet. So we have to basically, that's why I need that. Anyway, I've lost my train of thought because I started thinking about really stupid kids in Mississippi.
Just about how we need to fight back. Like how
Yeah, no, we
I
have to have the same grit. Yeah, we have to fight back, and we have to dumb shit down too. We have to
That's
speak
true.
to them. We have to speak to people on their own levels. Like, don't, like, do people know what the word gerrymandering is? Like, do people know what certain words mean? Like, we have to speak on a level that they understand. And Republicans are very, very good at that. They speak to people, especially like on economic issues like that. They really hit home. They're like, oh yeah, I understand that. Whereas like Democrats are like above brow, and like they're like, oh, this is all the things we need to do. And they're not wrong, but it doesn't resonate.
Well, it's that whole thing. Do you want to be right or do you want to win? And I think Democrats spend way too much time making their case and proving they're right. And I see it all. Like I heard that quote and I started looking on social media and I see it all the time. And like you said, they are right. But sometimes being right doesn't win an argument because Republicans come from this whole psychological hit them with fear, hit them with making them feel like they've been wronged. And it's an emotional kind of message, whereas the Democratic message is way more cerebral and, policy wonky. And it's not, people aren't going to, it's not to say that it's, of course, we have to educate the public in what we want to do, what we have done, all that. But at the same time, we have the Republicans have shown us so very clearly that an emotional message is really the message that sticks. And I'm going to have to disagree with ex-DNC chair Jamie Harrison in that, okay, while I do agree Democrats like hope, it's not enough. It's just not enough. I mean, we have to, I mean, look at Kamala Harris. That wasn't enough. Hope wasn't enough. Joy and laughter, and in fact, laughter hurt her. It wasn't enough. So I think it does need to be, I think the Democratic Party really has to realize yesterday that they need to be playing on our emotions and doing a lot more. And I mean, as happy as I am to see them uniting on this particular issue, at least in Texas, I feel like there's still too many Democrats out there that are scattered. They're not uniting. They're not sending a cohesive message like, hey, we're fighting fascism and we're never going to back down because some of them are still voting with the GOP. I don't understand this. What the fuck is wrong with them? I mean, doesn't it drive you crazy when you see that?
It does. It really does. And back to the point where like Democrats are so cerebral too, it's like you don't want to vote for people that make you feel dumb. Like you're not gonna vote for the person that's made you feel stupid. You're gonna vote for the person that like you can kind of, you know, relate to. Like,
Yeah,
oh,
or
they're
makes you feel heard. Yeah.
yeah, oh, they make sense. They're saying things that I understand. And yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not that we don't have to be honest. We just need to speak to people on their level, meet people where they are, instead of trying to be like holier than thou all of the time.
Yeah, it's very true. Okay, you know what? We have to take a quick break, but we will be back after this message. Hey, real quick, this is Kimberly. If you like what you're listening to, please go to patreon.com/startmeup, check out all the different tiers, and become my patron today. I would appreciate it, and thank you. Okay, we're back. I hate this, but you mentioned Gilead. No, I've never seen that show.
No.
No, because first of all, I think Bob and I started watching it at one point and didn't keep watching it. And I think it was because he just felt like this was during, Biden, I think. Maybe it was the first term of Trump. I don't remember, but still, it was like Bob felt a little freaked out by
Yeah.
watching it. And I guess, I didn't fight him on that. Like, I didn't say, yeah, we have to watch it. But so I can't speak. I do have the, I understand what that show is about. But in line with that, I want to read because we're seeing, oh my God, we're seeing so much misogyny now. And people, like, for those of
There's
you
an
who don't,
uptick, right? There's totally an uptick in misogyny.
oh
I
my
was told to
God, big.
smile the other day. I'm like, I haven't heard
Oh,
that in a decade.
God. Yeah, that's fucking bad. So for those of you who don't know who this guy is, Matt Walsh, he has a massive, massive platform. This is exactly the kind of guy that we can't ignore. I mean, I think like you can ignore him in that you don't have to engage with him, but I think it's important to note what people like Matt are saying because they have big flat platforms. And I'm just gonna say before I read what he wrote, I do hear people, whether it's Donald Trump or whoever, like, oh, I just ignore. We shouldn't give them air. First of all, Donald Trump is the president. You can't ignore the president. And
Exactly.
then, and so people like Matt Walsh, while there could be an argument, well, you don't have to pay attention to him. No, but he's one of Donald Trump's, I don't know, he's like, he's got a bullhorn. And Donald Trump is just a fucking idiot right now. He's literally lost his mind. He makes no sense. It's not even about Donald Trump. It's about the messaging that goes along with a Trump presidency with a fascist rule. And so I'm not going to ignore people who I think are absolutely dangerous to my fucking way of life. And so Matt said, women do, in fact, owe children to the world. Your ancestors suffered and sacrificed and died to bring you into existence and build the civilization you now take for granted. You stand on the shoulders of thousands of untold hardship, giving up, throwing it all away, extinguishing your own extinguishing your own bloodline so that you can live in a pathetic, pointless life dedicated solely to your own material gain is an act of generational betrayal and suicide. Holy
Wow.
shit. You
Wow.
and I,
It
man,
kept getting worse.
generational, yeah. Generational betrayal. That's what we did.
Like he knows what hardship is as a straight white male.
Oh my God. And then, okay,
Jesus.
wait. So then I don't know if you saw this, but Charlie Kirk's been on a college tour, going around to college campuses all over the United States and telling women that they need to get their MRS, their Mrs. Degree, and basically
I
find a
saw that.
man. Yeah, get find a man and give up your freedom. Another person that I don't think we should be ignoring, because the scary part of all of this is that the you know when I watched this first video of him talking about this Mrs. degree, I for sure thought that the girls in school were going to just go crazy on him, and instead they all applauded him.
Yeah, and they raise their hands when they're like there to see get a husband or whatever,
Yeah,
like
yeah. And I mean, hey, there's nothing wrong with wanting to get
no.
married or anything
Not
like
at
that, but it's
all.
like, yeah, go to school to find your husband. And it's okay if you want to go to school and possibly meet your husband, that's also cool, but there's also a cool thing about getting an education and knowing how to take care of yourself in case your husband cheats on you or beats you and you want to leave, you know? So, I mean, that's really important too. So, but yeah, I mean, I'm seeing this happen, and that was just going to ask you, and you just told me that you were told to smile, which, oh my God, I swear to God, you know, I mean, I'm afraid to be in that situation myself because,
I can tell you the story. It was
yeah,
funny.
tell me the story. Tell me the story.
First, I want to say that it's very important we listen to those voices because if we don't listen to what people are hearing, we don't know how to counteract those messages. But as far as my story, my wife and I were at Costco, of course, and we were in line checking out, and like I guess we both had like faces. It was like I think it was a Monday. It was just like okay, we have a minute to go to Costco, and we're in line, and this guy goes, "Oh, why aren't you guys smiling today?" And he's a cashier, and I want to throw him under the bus, so I won't say which Costco branch. But so I was like, "Oh yeah," I kind of just like bit my tongue, and my wife, she did not, but she didn't like go after him. But she basically was like, "Oh," she pointed at the guy behind us in line, and was like, "Are you going to tell him to smile too?" And so he was, and the cashier was kind of flustered, and it was, and he's like, "Oh yeah, oh yeah."
Right, and that's the thing. It's like sometimes these guys, they don't really realize what they're saying. They think they're so programmed by the patriarchy that they actually think they're saying something nice to you.
Oh, he thought he was being charming, 100%. He doesn't understand like the how it's like a microaggression, basically like, "Oh, you're a woman in my presence, you should be looking happy," kind of thing. And you're like, I'm like, it's a Monday and I needed toilet paper. I am not here to bring a smile to your face.
You know what's interesting though, I will say this, and I'm going kind of back to my spiritual thing. One of the, and it's not just spiritual because it's also in my current, in our current situation, especially because, you know, I live in Maryland, which is an extremely diverse state. And because I'm so close to DC, I mean, we have so many people from all over the world here, black and brown, I mean, all kinds. And so when I'm out and about, I think in terms of, you know, and I only bring the spiritual into it because it's like, you know, when I listen to people who have had near-death experiences or something like that, they'll always say, what really matters is how we treat each other. And so I keep that in the forefront of my head. And I think, all right, when I'm out and about, I just want to be friendly to people. So I haven't been told to smile because I've kind of been, you know, like that. I've been friendly, and I also don't want people to look at me and think, oh, because she's a white woman, she's probably MAGA. I don't, you know, so I do my very best to be kind and strike up conversations and, you know, how, I mean, I've always kind of been that way, but now I'm aware. I have that awareness of what it must be like for someone. And like, I don't know if you ever do this, but like when I'm just out in the world and I'm looking around and I see somebody who's clearly from another country. I mean, the other day there was somebody close to where I was living, and they were just sitting on some stairs, and it was a Mexican man. And you know, we said hello to each other, and he had an accent. And I thought, D is this man concerned? Like, I'm concerned for him, but I, you know, and I don't know his story. I don't know if he's a good guy or not, you know, but I'm just assuming he is. And I'm wondering, and it's like, are you getting that? Like, when you're walking around, are you getting the sense that people feel fear, or does the things kind of still feel normal to you?
Oh, they definitely don't feel normal. And like, so my wife is Puerto Rican, so she has brown skin. And so she had this fear, and so does her mother, who's even darker brown skin. And they're worried about like ICE. And I was kind of, and like me, I was like, "Oh, you know, you're Puerto Rican, it's brown." But then I'm like, "Holy shit, they're not even checking, they're not even giving a shit who they're detaining." There was a military veteran in California who was Puerto Rican, and he got detained. Or I don't know if it was California or no, I think it was California. Yeah. And it's just like, holy shit, you do have to worry. And now I worry. And like, my wife's traveling to a state where soon where I'm going to worry about her being there. So, yeah, it's, I definitely think there's a fear out there amongst people for sure. It's an uneasiness.
Yeah, it's very uneasy. In fact, I think it was Passover dinner. My sister was telling me because one of her friends, and I don't know where she's from. I don't know where her friend is from, but like she's had this friend forever. They went to high school together. They grew up together. And her friend is brown. And I don't know if she's somewhere from like East India or something like that. But regardless, she messaged my sister during Passover dinner and said she was in a restaurant in the area where we live and that there were ICE agents looking around. And now, I mean, she's a citizen. She was born here, but she's got the wrong skin color. And, I mean, everybody at dinner kind of just, it just made us quiet. Obviously, nothing happened to her friend. I don't know what they did in that particular restaurant. But I know that with this new big brutal bill, the budget is so, inflated for ICE, which now Dean Cain has joined ICE, but that's a whole nother
I was
story.
happy for him. He finally found work.
Fuck you, Dean Cain, who was also an undocumented immigrant. By the way, Superman.
Yes, Superman was. Yes.
But
Or is.
yeah, but I mean, and I haven't necessarily seen, I mean, I do remember back in, I don't know, maybe 2022, whatever, it was during a Biden presidency. Bob and I were driving down to Virginia, and there was this massive, I think I even told you about it, but it was this massive, and I'm saying massive Confederate flag hanging above the free, I always say freeway because I'm from California, but highway. And it was like, oh my God. And whenever you go into Virginia, I mean, there are definitely the rural parts of Maryland that are very, very Trumpy and MAGA. And so, there are the same thing, red parts of Virginia that are just so Trumpy. And it's
Yeah, they
like,
are.
the Civil War was fought here. So there's like a whole different energy. I grew up in Southern California and was there for all those years. So we didn't, I mean, you could go into places like Bakersfield and definitely feel the right wing, but it's not like it is on the East Coast. There's a particular kind of weird MAGA-ness on the West, on the East Coast. And I mean, I will say that I haven't really felt it too much as far as my own personal experiences. But I worry, like I worry. My mother lives in a neighborhood that's extreme. My mother, who's 78 years old, we were having a conversation the other day, and she was telling me how she's concerned for her neighbors because, it's like an all nations neighborhood. There's like every from all over. And so and she's not necessarily made friends with these people, but she's neighborly. They talk, they know each other's lives. She knows about this family and that family, and this one has a newborn, and this one, blah, blah, blah. And she's telling me, she's like, if I'm terrified to see them, ICE out on the street taking away my neighbors. And she goes, and if I ever saw anything like that, I would not be able to just sit there and do nothing. And then, like in my mind, I'm like, my 7 year. Please, Mom, don't go fight ICE. But she's like, no, I would go out there with my phone and I would scream at them. And I just have to hope that she doesn't get hurt if she ever does anything like that. But I mean, that's like I fear like when I go out that I'm gonna see something like that. And I would do the same thing. I would scream and I would use my phone and hope that
Yeah,
I didn't get
same.
hurt.
Yeah.
Because like you couldn't just do nothing. But I hear that of my mom, and she would get so mad at me if I kept reiterating 78 to her. But it's like, she's my mommy.
Oh, it's like when I had to tell my mom to stop climbing up onto the top of the roof. She's in her 70s.
Oh, okay. So we're going to switch gears here. And I just got to ask you. I mean, this whole thing with Epstein, initially, when, okay, for I think it was back in June. When Elon Musk said, okay, they got in the big fight about the bill that hadn't passed yet. Elon Musk says Donald Trump is in the Epstein files.
Yeah.
So that kind of opened the door. And obviously the Epstein thing had been there, and they all ran on a, we're gonna show you who's in those files, because of course they just wanted to say Bill Clinton. And that's what we're gonna do. And then of course now they're like, no, you can't see the files. And now we see what's happening is that Ghislaine Maxwell is gonna lie and say Donald's in the files, is not in the files, and then he already put her in Club Fed, a much easier prison to experience than the one she was in. And we're all anticipating a pardon. So initially when this was happening, there were people like and I think still Candace Owens, Steve Bannon. They're pissed off. And they're like, no, this isn't good. But my concern here is like, okay, what if those files are released? But of course, they make all the Democrats, and if I think it was Keith Edwards who had a viral tweet going around that's saying this is what's gonna happen. They're gonna release the files, and it's gonna be, a bunch of Democrats and a few billionaires, maybe a right winger. But who the big shots don't care about.
They're
And
curating the list right now, is what they're
exactly.
doing. That's what they're, and it's so obvious because it's like if it wasn't going to be a problem for Trump, we'd already
Right.
have had it.
Yeah.
We would have already had it. But there's evidence that he raped a child,
Right.
and in the law first lawsuit that was brought against him, and it was him and Epstein on the lawsuit, it said that if she were to speak about it, if she was a Jane Doe, she's a Jane Doe, if she were to speak about it, then he would harm her or her fam and her family. So it was kind of like, so we know why these cases were dropped.
Yeah.
They were bullied out of these
Right.
lawsuits. And but if you read about it, she was 13. She was
Yeah.
13 years old. My niece is 13. I can't tell you the shade of red I turn when I think
Yeah.
about this. Like, it's just
Yeah.
beyond.
Yeah. And I, you know, but I'm wondering, are this curated list that it'll eventually come out and probably have Bill Clinton's name on it, do you think that the MAGA will buy it? I mean, I think they will. For the most part, I think the cult will buy it.
I think they're a good chunk of that. They always say that we have Trump derangement syndrome, but they are
Yeah.
the ones that clearly have Trump derangement
Yeah.
syndrome because he can't do any wrong. I think a good chunk of them are gonna buy it, obviously. But I have noticed like a few businesses in town that would fly Trump flags, they're not anymore.
Interesting.
So I'm keeping my eye on that. But I don't know, because I think a few people are like, this is shady. Like
Yeah.
people, but they're obviously curating the list. Like they're
Yeah.
obviously like redacting his name or doing whatever they can. Like he owns the DOJ, he owns the FBI. It's just like you just put the arsonist in charge of the investigation.
Right.
Like, come on.
Yeah, and I mean, I really don't know where this goes, and I don't know because I think the most important thing to keep in mind is that there's going to be that mega cult that is never going to break from him. And it's not even that we have to get them to break, but can we get enough people, specifically independents who usually lean right, are they going to be okay with this curated list? Are they going to buy it? Because they're ultimately the ones who are going to determine elections, providing those elections are certified and, I don't know, as fair as they possibly can be.
Don't get me started on that, but yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know if this Epstein thing is really going to be this big deal that everybody assumed that it was going to be initially. I mean, I do think it will play a part in how Trump is viewed, but if they do indeed come out with some list that just looks like all the dem because that's the whole point of MAGA and that's the whole point of Q. QAnon was just like, look, all the Democrats are pedophiles.
Yep.
And it was, of course, all unsubstantiated and proven wrong in many cases, but that's what they like to stick to. And they do not want to believe that, even though every single time you fucking open your computer and look at the news, there is another Republican who has raped a child or has changed the laws to protect child rapists, or, you know, I mean, and then there's the quotes. I'm just going to read a few of the quotes, and this is over the years. I mean, we cannot forget, you know, the Todd Akin, if it's a legitimate rape, the female body has ways to try to shut that whole thing down.
I remember that,
Oh my
yeah.
God, that was 2012. And then he lost his seat, which, but today they'd probably like put him, you know, they would, I don't know, they would amplify him.
No, they'd be like, yes, that's how it's done. It's the woman's
Exactly.
fault, yeah.
And then here's rape is kind of like the weather. If it's inevitable, relax and enjoy it. That was Clayton Williams of Texas, Republican. Rick Santorum's advice was rape victims should make the best of a bad situation. These are all verified, by the way, verifiable quotes. Another one, even when life begins in that horrible situation of rape, it's something that God intended to happen. And then the last is if a woman, and then in parentheses, has the right to an abortion. Why? This is my favorite one. Why shouldn't a man be free to use his superior strength to force himself onto women? At least the rapist pursuit of sexual freedom doesn't, in most cases, result in anyone's death. That's Lawrence Lachman of what is ME? Is that that's not Minnesota or
That's
Maine? Is that Maine?
Maine. That's
Maine.
Maine.
Okay, that's
Yeah.
Maine. Oh my God. That's not even current. These
Like,
aren't
I
even
don't
current.
understand how he is walking around and not punched in the face every day.
Oh,
I'm just like, okay, all of these men should be castrated because they shouldn't be
yeah.
allowed near any woman.
No.
That is just terrifying. That's
It is
awful.
terrifying, and it's
Yeah, that's
just it's
just, yeah. I mean, I like both you and I are very tall, and
yes.
we can kind of like hold it, like we have a presence that's a little bit more intimidating,
Yeah.
but that shouldn't matter. Like it should,
No.
like no, like women shouldn't have to worry. Like, yeah,
No,
it's
and it's a real concern. I will say when I'm out and about at this point in time, I'm not freaking out. I'm not like, oh my God, oh my God. I don't worry. But I'm aware of what's happening. And I just,
absolutely.
and again, because I think because I live in such a diverse area, so many of the people that I encounter are not white. I do see a lot of white people, okay, yes, but when I'm out in the stores and blah blah blah, I'm seeing people from everywhere all around the world. And I mean it's just literal. I see Asian people, Mexican people, black people, just everyone. And Muslim people. And it's interesting to me because I think this country is filled as it was intended to be the sanctuary for people all around the world to come and, have that American dream. And so all these people came here to have that American dream. They're all here now. And I just don't know that I just I don't, we're not going to have, I know my mind's going all over the place, but I can't help it because I just, once you start thinking of these things, it's like your mind is just flooded with all this other stuff. And it's like, how can they achieve what they want to achieve when so millions and millions and millions and millions of people who live in this country are, from other countries, and they want to turn this into some white utopia, which it will never
Also,
be.
who are, I was just going back to, like, who are these women that support that kind of
I
thinking?
know.
Like, I remember when I used to gig out in LA and I would walk back to my car at like 2 a.m. and I'd have my saxophone stand in one hand, which has like the hooks for my saxophone. And then I have like my keys in between my fingers, like Wolverine in the other hand. And I'm like walking down the street to my car because I'm holding like,
Wolverine.
because I'm like holding like $5,000 worth
Yeah.
of gear on my back, and I'm like, holy shit! Like, and then, but it's like, we don't, as women, we don't know a world without that fear.
I know. It's so true.
We
Even
don't
before
know.
this, yes.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We don't know. Like, we've always had to watch our backs. To the like, it's awful. It's an awful existence. And for any man to say like, oh well, we should just allow rape.
No, just sit back and enjoy it if it's inevitable.
Well, then I'm not going to say what I wanted to say, but maybe something should happen to him and he should sit back and enjoy it.
Yes, really. And it's like as women, we're constantly being told how we have to keep ourselves safe from men. How many fucking emails have I gotten in my life telling me, if you're going to jog, don't wear a ponytail because some crazy man could come out of the bushes and grab you by your ponytail and pull you off and kill you. If you're in a parking lot late at night, look in the back seat of your car because there might be a scary man there.
Yep.
When you're walking late at night, hold your keys like Wolverine in your hand, just in case some guy tries to hurt you and attack you. And then when you post about safety online, why do you hate men? Why do feminists hate men so much? And it's like, oh my God, it's not even about hating men. It's like all we ever hear is how men are gonna fucking kill us and rape us. That's
Yeah,
all we hear and how we
I
have
get
to
it all the
protect
time.
ourselves. Yeah, we
Yeah,
have
like,
to
why do you
protect.
hate men? I'm like, I don't hate men. I hate assholes. There's a difference.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter if you explain that 5 gazillion fucking times, because there's always going to be a new one who says, why do you hate men? But while we're constantly being told men are going to kill and rape us, and the statistics show that that's really what's happening. And so it's like, oh my fucking, and I've been screaming about this forever. I had written an open letter to John Kasich on Huffington Post years ago. And I was reading, because of course he victim blamed. And I was reading what I wrote and I was kind of bummed because I think this was probably like 2015, maybe 2016. I don't know. I think it was 2016. And, everything I said was, if a woman is wearing sexy clothes, the man who raped her is the one to blame, not her. If a woman is drunk and gets raped, it's the man, it's the rapist's fault. It's never the woman's fault. Ever, 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 ever.
If a woman should be allowed to walk around naked. and feel safe.
Yes. And it's like, what makes me so sad is I wrote this in 2016. I've written things, and I know you did too, you know, prior to MAGA and all this stuff. And it just seems like everything just fell apart. You know, we were trying so hard to educate. We were trying so hard to make our points with sarcasm or humor or whatever we could. And it just now it's like, it's just worse. And
Yeah.
and I feel, you know, I mean, I worry about people in my life for various, like, you're worried about your wife. I'm worried about Jewish family members that I have.
Yeah.
And I just,
Yeah.
you know, I mean, it's just, it's, I don't know where this is going to go. But what I do think is that it can't sustain. And the last thing that I wanted to ask you about is, now, you know, everybody hates, well, not everybody, but pretty much the world, save for the small little MAGA crowd, that cult, they hate Donald Trump. And constantly we're seeing memes, like we're seeing memes of Pooh Bear and Tigger talking about wanting him to just fucking die. And, you know, we're seeing.
It's wild that people are just coming out and saying stuff like that all of the
all
time.
The time, every
Like,
day.
Like, I don't, because, you know,
I know,
but for obvious reasons, like,
yeah,
but it's like, and plus I, you know, but it's just like, holy shit. Like there is a, you either
yeah.
love him or you really don't.
Yeah, and most people really don't. Most people in the world really don't.
Yeah.
And, you know, just like when Obama won in
Yes.
2008, there was this world, like the whole world was literally dancing.
Yeah.
And I think it would be kind of the same thing if Trump left his body.
Well, I think I've told you this before. Like when Obama got elected and was inaugurated, I went to Australia shortly thereafter in 2009, like a couple months after he's inaugurated. And like I'm on this like Blue Mountain tour, and they have everybody line up, and they're like, everybody say Obama, like people from around the world in this
Wow.
tour. And we all smile and said Obama. And it was just like, holy shit.
Wow.
I do think that that would happen again. I really
Yeah, I
do.
do. And I think that, I mean, especially if in 2020, I don't care who it was, if a Democrat won, the world would cheer. But if Trump were to, you know, take his last breath for whatever reason, and, you know, I mean, I think that's another, I think part of the reason we all, I'm going to say that so many people in this world wish him dead is because he's old and unhealthy. If he were 35 years old, if he were, you know, healthy, obviously that wouldn't be the wish because people wouldn't expect it to happen. But it's, he doesn't
What's the
look very
saying?
good.
There's a saying going around, clots and prayers.
Right. And I mean, you know, when the White House came out with that whole venous thing that he has, it was just a way to shut us up because he's got the big cankles and he's got all the bruises and that's just what we can see.
100%. That was what they were. They did that to tell us, you know, it's far worse.
Of course it's far worse. I mean,
Yeah.
doctors, I know that a doctor can't just look at someone from afar and say, here's what's wrong with you, but, and diagnose them. But doctors have said it looks like he has congestive heart failure. You know,
And
we know
yeah.
that he doesn't eat healthy. We know he doesn't exercise. We know he drinks too much Diet Coke. We know he's been taking drugs forever. So yeah, I mean, there are things that are really wrong with him, and it would not surprise anyone if, you know, his body gave out on him.
I
So
also wouldn't put it past like they're setting it up that he leaves on health reasons.
yes.
And then I feel like they're in the starting stages of that to then have Vance. And Vance just recently went on a donor tour to like fucking a blue state too. Like he was in Nantucket.
Wow.
Like you don't get more blue blood wealthy than that.
Right.
Like, come on.
So that's kind of what I'm leading to because, you know, I mean, there just seems to be this feeling in the air with so many people that I talk to that he's not going to last the 4 years, whether it's them getting him to leave, because there's that theory that you just presented where,
Yeah.
you know, maybe because I'm sure that the higher ups, whoever that would be, including Putin, you know, can come to him with compromat and say, okay, here's the deal. We have the video of you with children. And if we're, you know, we can show it to everybody and humiliate you, or you can tell everybody that you're not feeling well and you just step away. We'll give you all the federal pardons and you can go play golf and you'll have all your money and you can leave. Now that's a scenario, right? There's also the scenario that he is really sick and he actually dies. But regardless, there is this feeling in the air that people don't think he's going to make it this full term. I never thought he was going to make it. I didn't think Joe Biden was going to make it if he was the
Same.
nominee, you know.
Yeah.
So
same.
because they're older and this is a very stressful job. And before I even say the next thing, I said that online and people say, oh, he doesn't even work. He has nothing to be stressed about. He's absolutely stressed every single day. He's angry and he's stressed and he doesn't want the Epstein stuff to come out. And he only gets partial information. He doesn't really understand things. He is stressed out. He may not be stressed out in a like the way a normal president would be stressed out. He's a mobster who's stressed out. So I just have to throw that out there. But let's just say that it's a Vance presidency now. And it's, you know, in this term, in this 4 years, what do you think? I mean, there's this two avenues or two ways of thinking. One way is that he's not as popular as Donald and that he's not as chaotic and that he also, because like he has no charisma and he's going to actually help the Democrats, of course, providing they're not cheating in such horrible ways, but that he's going to help the Democrats. And then there's, you know, and then there's the, this is my one of my theories that I don't like is that he, you know, he doesn't have the doesn't offer us this chaos that Donald is offering. He appears to be more sane and normal. And like the fear for me, and I'm just taking this up to the midterms. I'm not even taking this to voting him in 2028. But the fear for me is that he would appear normal to the right-leaning independents who are not really paying close attention. And I don't know because, you know, we are going to see Medicaid going, you know, Medicaid cuts and all these cuts that are going to and the tariffs and all that shit. So, like, how do you think a JD? I mean, we don't know. Obviously, I'm asking you to be psychic about this a little bit. But like, how do you think a JD presidency lands?
I don't think he has the like, I don't think like the MAGA like through and through loyalists are going to just like jump to him. Mm-hmm. I think he would be the guy to like appear to be moderate, but he's not. Like he's a puppet. Like he's mm-hmm. Peter Thiel's puppet. They've been working on him for a while. He's financed his entire political career.
Yeah.
I don't trust him at all. Like I think I'm trying to I fear that they're gonna cheat again.
Yeah.
And I say again very confidently.
Yeah.
And I think I don't know. I think Vance will be easier to take down in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Like, cause he's a veteran. We can be like, dude, hold your oath. What are you doing? Like
right.
what you're doing is unconstitutional. And you took an oath to like protect and defend the Constitution. And I think there's a lot of ways we can go after him that Trump was invincible to.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Interesting.
I think, yeah, I think it's very in the air. I don't, but basically I don't think he'd be the one at the helm anyway. He'd be just like the face.
Yeah.
He'd be like the guy from Ohio who served his country. Oh, did you hear what he did recently? He had the Army Corps of Engineers raise the water level in the Ohio River so he could go out there with his family.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So cut money for all the national parks and all of
right.
that. And, you know, throw our like people who serve under the bus, but let's go and raise
wow.
the river.
I
so
didn't,
he can
I
have
didn't
a
know.
He can have a day out. Just the news just came out today.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Well, you know what? I said that was the last thing I was going to say, but I want to throw this out there because there are a lot of people who do not believe this was a legitimate election. And then there's also a lot of people who don't like to hear that. And they, you know, they say, yes, this matches what the polls were saying. And the cheating that they did was only legal. I'm kind of in the middle. I feel like that they every single time there's an election, not only do they cheat legally with legislation, but they do what they can. I've maintained that I think they cheated in 2020. They just didn't succeed.
That was because of mail-in ballots and COVID.
Yes,
I honestly,
exactly.
That was exactly why Biden won, is because it was a more legitimate election with mail-in ballots.
I agree.
I think every election should be mail-in ballots. You get like 70% voter turnout, like in Oregon.
Yeah.
And it's way more democratic. Like when all those bomb threats were being called in on
right.
election night, and we were like, all of a sudden we don't talk about that. And then
I know.
And how does Alyssa Slotkin win in Michigan, but Kamala loses? How does Ruben Gallego win in Arizona, but Kamala loses?
Mm-hmm.
Like that doesn't track. It doesn't track.
No,
that
there was something very funny. And there are a lot of people who are basically saying what you're saying. And some of them are writing on Substack. But what I want to point out is there was a recent Substack going around, ex-CIA official, NSA audited the 2024 election. And basically in this blog, which I did not read, you know, they I guess they just provide what they believe happened or how they think it happened. And I didn't read it. So I'm not, you know, I don't know. But here's what Allison Gill have to say about it. She said, you know, yes, I've seen it. First, the book author was not working in intelligence in 2021. He was a PBJ board member in the private sector. Second, NSA doesn't audit elections, nor do they use their surveillance powers on Americans. Third, we've known that the ES and S machines for year about the ES and S machines for years, which is why we've long advocated for hand-marked paper ballots. But that really doesn't have anything to do with the NSA or 2024 election audits. I don't claim to know what happened in 2024, but this ain't it. And my whole point here, because I also heard some people when I posted that about the blog, I didn't actually post the blog. But when I posted about it on my Facebook page, somebody said that, I don't know, they're in some kind of military chat group or I don't know, whatever it was. But long story short, that the person who, this NSA person, isn't someone that they trusted. I just want to put it out there. Like, I am not going to say that they didn't cheat. I do think they did. But even if they did cheat, I don't know what would even be done about it. But when you have Substack, you know, when there's no real sourcing, because I think there was this first one that was going around that sourced NPR, but it was NPR had posted a press release and that was it. They had no commentary about it. So a press release could be made by anybody and it's really not a source. It's just somebody said something. That's it. That's all they reported. And you know, I mean, I could come out and say, you know, cows are blue, and then, you know, they would report it. It doesn't mean it's true. So I'm very careful about these things. And the reason why is because I think that people get their sight. It's not even about conspiracy. It's about people want proof and they want to believe. And so do I. I mean, I do believe that they cheated. But these blogs aren't helping us. I think they're just offering, you know, hope for a few minutes. And eventually nothing comes of them. And when these kinds of blogs come out, I feel like I would rather just wait to see if anybody's going to say anything, because we live in this fucking world of nobody can keep their mouth shut about anything.
Yeah, I don't know how much I trust like people standing on their soapbox and just saying theories. Like what I'm saying is like it's a theory. And generally, yeah. Like when I hear that in certain counties or whatever in New York that Kirsten Gillibrand got like 70% of the vote, yeah. But Kamala got zero.
No, it's not zero. It's not zero. I looked it up. It's
okay.
Well, it is suspicious, but Kamala. I like Gillibrand. Let's say I don't exactly remember the numbers, but let's say Gillibrand got 70% of the vote. Normally, the top of the ticket would get more than that, but Kamala got 50. So these are not the right numbers. But Kirsten got more percentage than Kamala, which is unusual. So there.
Well,
is
that's better cheating than zero, because zero right. Seems really obvious. 50,
right.
50 seems real. So yeah.
Yeah. And again, those numbers are off, but still
they're
it was
off,
just,
yeah.
it was just that, you know, usually it happens at the top of the ticket gets more percentage. So yeah, I mean, there were discrepancies and there were bomb threats and there, you know, and Russia, we know Russia has a real interest. I mean, after the election, they came out and basically said, okay, Donald Trump owes us. And, I don't know. I just think that Substack is a way for people to earn money. And it exploded after this election. And I'm not saying don't trust people on Substack. I'm fucking on Substack. You know, that Wajahat Ali is on Substack. I trust him.
Yeah, listen to the trusted sources versus just anybody. Yeah.
Right. And so you've got this rando going, oh, here, this NSA thing. I mean, I'm not going to believe it immediately. I'm not saying that it isn't true. I'm just not going to perpetuate stuff like that because I feel like I don't want to create false hope. And even if it like comes down to it and we find out, oh my God, yes, here's how they cheated. What's going to happen?
Nothing. And it also makes it so no one has confidence in the elections and nobody's going to show up to vote. Yeah.
So it's very dangerous. And I mean, I know everybody's kind of grabbing for anything they can to feel either hope or feel like, you know, it's not over. But, you know, we have to be smart about this and we have to kind of temper our emotions because every day it's a fucking roller coaster. So I don't know. I mean, I just, I, 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 I don't even know. I said this in the first term. I just kept saying, I don't know. You know, that's all. I don't even know what's going on. I mean, I know what's going on, but I don't know where this is going. None of us know where this is going. All I do know is, and I'm going to keep saying this, in any kind of attempt to overthrow democracy and get, autocracy, the only way that it's going to, democracy will prevail is if we get it early. We can't allow fascism to cement. We can't allow these kinds of, we can't accept this. So, for those of you listening, I don't know what it is that you can do, but look up what you can do. Even if it's just something like making a phone call, sending a postcard, anything, go to Indivisible, look for things that you can do, because we all kind of have to do something. I mean, I do make an effort to call, if I see that Democrats are being weak in an area, I think they need to get some strength, some spine. I will call, and I'm civil, but I'm like, come on, fight for us. You need to fight harder. And I mean, there are things that we can do. So we need to make our voices heard. Anyway, that's going to be it for today. I think we've talked about fascism enough. And I know both you and I are social media managers, so we're just going to finish this and go back into it. But
That
you
is
know,
true.
it's always, always, always fun to talk to you. And as per usual, before I let you go, tell everyone where to find you.
You can find me on pretty much every platform but Blue Sky at Sarah Wood Writer, like writing things down. And then on Blue Sky, you can find me at Sarah Wood with an Sarah with an H, the way it's meant to be, Sarah with an H.
Just making it easier for people.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks for being on the show, and we will talk again.
Hi, I'm Mojiella Woodyall from the Feminist Buzzkills Live Pod, the only podcast that helps you navigate the news in this post-Roe anti-abortion hellscape. Each week, with co-host Liz Winstead, we dissect all the news from that sketchy intersection of abortion and misogyny with providers and activists working on the ground. The cherry on top is we have amazing comedy guests who help us laugh through the rage. Feminist Buzzkills Live drops Fridays wherever you pod. Listen and subscribe, because when BS is popping, we pop off.